The Holy Gospel according to John. These are the words of Christ. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me and I in them. Just as living in the Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever eats of me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like what your ancestors ate, and they died. But the one who eats this bread will live forever. Jesus said these things while he was teaching in the synagogue at Capernaum. When many of Christ's disciples heard it, they said, "This teaching is difficult. Who can accept it?" But Jesus, being aware that his disciples were complaining about it, said to them, "Does this offend you? Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh is useless. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But among you there are some who do not believe." For Jesus knew from the first who were the ones who did not believe and who was the one who would betray him. And Jesus said, "For this reason I have told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted by the Father." Because of this, many of Christ's disciples turned back and no longer went about with him. So Jesus asked the 12, "Do you also wish to go away?" Simon Peter answered Christ, "Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy Ones of God." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Grace and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, I've been gone away for over a month, and instead of just dipping my toe into the pool, I'm going to jump into the deep end and ask the big question. Does God exist? And if God exists, is God active in my life? Is God active in my little itty-bitty life? After all, there's close to 7 billion of us here on this planet. Is God really active in my life? Does God really care about me? Or is God just simply light years away, up in some majesty of heaven and clouds, biding his time until he comes back to earth and makes it all right? Am I here on my own? Am I stranded? Am I on a desert island of faith? It's a big question. Does the fact that Jesus Christ lives, does the fact that you have faith in God's Son impact your daily life? Well, I'll tell a story of my life. In the not too distant past. Yesterday, I was at a wedding. Because of my profession, I get the privilege of being at many weddings, but they never get boring, and they never get old. Saturday afternoon, we had a beautiful service, the weather was nice, the bride and groom were beautiful and handsome, the wedding party was sharp and happy, parents were there, people were there, there was music, there was tears, there was cheering, there was clapping, there was kissing. It was a great event. We move out of the day into the evening, we find ourselves at the wedding reception. And here's where I had my moment. It's about 7 o'clock at night. I had just finished my supper. I'm sitting quite full at my table. I look over to my left side, and I had a religious moment. For an instant, I knew without a shadow of a doubt that God was real. I knew beyond any kind of doubt that Christ was alive in my life blessing me. Last night about 7:30, I looked over and what did I see? My two girls. These children are a blessing to me. They have taught me about love. They have taught me about compassion. They've taught me about patience. They have taught me about inquisiting and examining the world and seeing the beauty in things that I often just walk by. And my daughters have also taught me in some small parts what it's like to love as a parent, what my Father in heaven loves me. And then I saw my wife, a woman who is a blessing to me, who supports me through her love, her compassion, her help, her prayer, And then I looked up, and I saw at the head table a bride and a groom, smiling, enjoying the moment, a couple for the who throughout the last few months I have walked with, I have prayed with, and I have seen the love and the joy that God has begun in them. And now on this day they have gathered with their closest family and friends. They have professed publicly their love for one another, and they have sought God's blessing on what they hope to create in their future. They want God to walk with them. And in that split second, I knew that Christ was active in my life. That Christ is blessing me through my family, through my friends, through my faith, and through my daily activities. Christ is alive and real for me. It came like a thunderbolt. It rolled into my body, and I had a shiver and a tingling. I experienced what Rudolf Otto would call the mysterium tremendum, the mysterious idea of religion. When you are confronted with something bigger than yourself, something more powerful than yourself, something you cannot put into words. This is what I experienced at 7:30 last night in that wedding hall. Do you experience that? I'm not sure it's because of the Old Testament, or because of television, or because of books, or just because we think so, but we often think of God in the big things. Religious experiences happen through lightning bolts. They happen through big fluffy clouds on mountains. They happen through whales who eat us when we fall off of big boats. This is how we often think about God active in our lives. So when we don't have that lightning bolt hit us, when that whale doesn't swallow us and spit us out, when we don't walk on water, when we don't see the leprosy being cured in people, we think God's not active in our lives. Today in our Old Testament reading, Solomon has the ark brought out of the temple, and all of a sudden this big cloud of thunder and lightning forms, and it's so imaginary, it's so powerful, the priests prostrate themselves, and no one can stand before it. And we think that is a religious experience. Unless we're knocked over by the lightning, unless the tornado levels every house but ours, we figure God's not active. But that's not true. In fact, the matter of it is that, as the kids would say, God doesn't get the street cred he deserves. For God is active in our lives. I look at my children, my relationship with my wife, my relationship with you, my experience of prayer, my knowledge of Scripture, the activity of the Holy Spirit, and I know that God is real. But none of this stuff happens in a lightning bolt. There is no tornadoes. There are no big fish that spit us up on shore and send us off to Nineveh. Rather, it's in a hug, a kiss, a smile, a knowledge. You don't believe me. That's okay. I can prove it. Yes, the Old Testament is full of clouds and lightning. It's full of darkness and the sun living on for more days than it should. It's full of those big miracles. But as we're told in Revelation, in Christ, all things are made new. So if Christ, God's Son, the Word of God made flesh, comes into the world, how does Christ bring us God, the most powerful thing in all of creation? In lightning bolts, in tornadoes, in earthquakes, in whales, in floods? No. Christ brings us God through talking about mustard seeds, through talking about grain, through talking about rocks, through talking about birds and trees, through talking about fruit and branches and vines, and Christ's most famous parable, Christ brings us God about talking about a father and two sons. Christ brings us God by talking about the mundane, the everyday things of life, the things that grow around us, the things that happen around us, the things we see, taste, smell, and experience. God is much more than just a big event of lightning and thunder. God is around us, living and working in our lives and the world to establish His creation and to establish in us a knowledge of Him. God's active in the mustard seed. God's active in the rocks. God's active in the water. God's active in the trees. God's active in families. And this is how Christ brings us God. And this is God available to everyone. I'm not the only one blessed with a family. I'm not the only one blessed with children. I was at that wedding with 200 other people. But did other people there last night have a religious experience? I pray to God, yes. But oddly enough, I heard more comments last night about the food than I heard about the presence of God in that event. And you know that's true. Was the meat overdone? Were the potatoes good? Was the dessert nice? How often do you sit around a wedding table talking about God? But because of who I am, because of the Spirit I've been gifted, I see God at work in the world. And this is what Christ is telling us in today's gospel reading. We hear these words from Jesus and they sound absolutely strange, grotesque, and vulgar. Heck, even those following Christ heard this teaching and took off the other direction, we're told. Christ says, you gotta eat me up. You gotta drink my blood. You gotta smash me in your teeth. Well, what? Were you a bunch of cannibals? No. Christ is saying to us, you are what you eat. You have to inhale me in. I have to course through your veins. I have to be a living, breathing part of your body. I can't be Jesus that you put up on the fireplace mantle and you look at once in a while. I can't be that old family Bible in the bookcase that once in a while you take and dust off and show off to people, write down another birth or death in. No. I am Christ. I need to live in you. You need to find your nourishment in me. You need to find your source of energy, your source of regularity in me. I am Christ for you. Take me in. Christ goes a great length, talks about chewing and drinking. But what Christ is saying, take me into you. Let me live and breathe in you. And if I'm living and breathing in you, you will see the world through my eyes. You will find God in your family. You will find God at a wedding. You will find God in the trees growing, in the beautiful waves on a lake. You will see God all around you. And you will know that God cares for you. You will know that God is active in your life, blessing you, equipping you, strengthening you, taking care of you. Let me live and breathe in you. And we're told some heard this teaching of Christ and did not believe. They didn't get it. They didn't want to get it. They didn't want to put Christ into their life. They wanted Jesus at a distance. These followers, Christ had more than 12 followers. Look at today's reading. Christ has these followers at the synagogue in Capernaum, and he's teaching. And he says, you gotta eat me, and you gotta drink me, and I gotta course through your veins, and I gotta be with you, and I gotta be in you. And these people hear of Jesus, and they get mad at him. They like Christ when Christ is a safe distance. When Christ is over here, and they're over here. When they can listen to Jesus, when they can critique Jesus, when they can see Jesus do things, but they don't want Jesus in here. Because that changes things. That changes how you look at the world, that changes how you see yourself in the world, and that changes your responsibility in the world. For now you are Christ in the world, because Christ is working through you. You are charged with caring for others. You are charged with praying for others. You are charged with helping others in Christ's name. Because Christ is inside of you. And you cannot deny that. But if you keep Jesus out there, you can learn from Jesus. You can hear Jesus. You can admire Jesus. You can respect Jesus. You can put Jesus on a pedestal. You can talk about Jesus. But you won't really have Jesus. Because Jesus exists something outside of yourself. It's an idea, a figure, it's empty words. It's like a can without soup. It's garbage. But that comes inside of you, and that changes things. And you start seeing the world differently. God's in action all over the place. God's popping up here, there, and everywhere. God's putting new opportunities in front of you. God's giving you new blessings. God's giving you new joy. And when you experience sorrow, hardship, depression, God is there with you. Walking with you, bringing you out of that valley of the shadow of death, and taking you to the green pastures of faith. That is God. Active in our lives. God wants to live in us. God wants to work through us. God wants to provide for us. Take me in, Christ says. But Paul gives us a warning today. Again, strange imagery. Paul today talks about armor. This big belt of truth and this breastplate of righteousness and a headgear and sword. It's kind of medieval sounding. But what Paul's saying is you need to be on guard. Because the world is a place that doesn't admire the mundane. We don't stop and look at the one flower blooming. We often don't stop to tell our spouse we love them enough. We often don't stop just to look at our children and recognize what a miracle this is, that this life can come into being and I'm responsible for it. We look at the roof over our head and say, it's leaking. We look at the food at our table and say, this steak is overdone. Unfortunately, we don't stop and realize, thanks be to God, there's a roof over my head. Thanks be to God, there's food on my table. Thanks be to God for my children, for my wife, for my husband, for my friends, for my job, for the security and democracy and freedom that I have here in this country. We don't stop and say, ugh. We expect it. It's mundane. The world has told us, this is what you should expect. And when you have this, you should want more. We are consumers by nature. If we have this, we want the new improved model. If our car is this old, we want a newer one. House is this big, a newer one. This doesn't hold true for all of us, but as a society in general, we are told to want more, bigger, better, brighter, and shinier. And in that pursuit, we don't recognize the fact that God gave us that first example. That the first example has served us very well. That eons ago, when God formed the world out of the craziness of creation, and God separated the waters from the land, and God brought forth the flora and the fauna, and God breathed life into human beings, Adam and Eve, and animals came into being, that God set this all in motion to provide for us, to care for us. This is why we say grace before meals. This is why we give thanks for the things we enjoy. But all too often our society says, you deserve it and you deserve better. And in so doing, we don't appreciate what we have. And to this, Paul says, gird yourselves up. Put on that big belt of truth. You know, one of those big rodeo belt buckles. Or the back buckle where you open it up and it shines up into the air for help, you know. Wear that big belt buckle of truth, Paul says. Let that big, heavy, 10-carat belt buckle remind you that there is a truth outside the world. That there is a living truth. And that's the truth of the gospel. It's the truth of eternal life. The truth of you are created by God, you are saved and you are redeemed by who you are, not what you are or what you have. Paul says, put on that big breastplate of righteousness. Repel things. This is like deep woods off. Keep the mosquitoes away. Those little gnats that hum around you all the time saying, you can do better, you can have more, you're not good enough. She's not pretty enough, your kids aren't behaved enough, your fence isn't white enough, I don't know. Put on that big breastplate of righteousness. Repel those things. Because everything you need, you've been given. It's inside of you. It's a knowledge of God. It's a knowledge of eternal life. It's a knowledge of Christ. That's what the 12 apostles knew. And they stuck with Christ. The others, they took off. Maybe they learned from Jesus. Maybe they enjoyed Jesus. Maybe they experienced a healing from Jesus. But when the rubber hit the road and Christ says, I want to live in you, I want to work through you, and that's going to change who you are, what you do, and how you see things, they said, thanks, but no thanks. And they abandoned Christ. The calling of a Christian is to take Christ in. We are gifted through the Holy Spirit and baptism. It's our job as Christians to cultivate that, to look at the world through God's eyes, to see those in need, to see those who we can help, to see the greatness of the blessings that we experience in our families, our places of work, our homes, in the things that we consume and need, to see how God is blessing us and liberating us. To not turn tail and run from Christ, but to be active, to have Christ living and breathing in us. This is how I know God exists, because I see God at work. And my life is not different than yours. A big cloud and lightning bolts don't follow me around. I don't have the red phone by my bedside that I just pick up and God starts talking to me. Like you, I pray. I wonder. I deliberate. I pray some more. And I even make the wrong decision a lot of times. And I bring myself to the cross and I receive forgiveness. But throughout it all, the good times, the bad times, the sickness, the health, God is with me. I have no doubt about that because I see it everywhere. In you, in my family, in the life that truthfully sometimes I take for granted. God is alive, God is well, and God is active in the world. I just pray that more people would see it. Amen.